Simon Reishman Dalad, Sif Yud Dalad. So the truth is, the Torah pretty much says the same thing as the Shulchan Aruch, but the Beis Yosef leaves out the main part, you know, where the Gemara is coming from. He just says, "Oh yeah, look at the Gemara over there, and Daflam Beis Amud Beis." So I would take a look at the Gemara over there, Daflam Beis Amud Beis, but I can't find one in the Shul. I did look at it today, and we'll see, just see what it says here in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch and Reishman. It just goes to Shulchan Aruch. The Torah doesn't say anything, or anything more than what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So in Siman Reishman Dalal, Sif Yudal, it says, "Ral Reyes and Nasi Omid Milfanav Mali Einav Einu Yoshev Ashiyeshev Bemukomos." So if you see the Nasi, I'm not sure if we have one of those today, but if he is as soon as you see him, and he doesn't, and until he sits down, you shouldn't sit. Oh, she is chasmi, or until he leaves your eyes. Fine. However, then this is the part that I wanted to get to. Kulam shemachal kavodam, all of them, if they are mochal on their kavod, so kavodam machal, so their kavod would be mochal. Bafal pikim, but yet, nevertheless, mitzvah lechavdam velakum mifnehem ktas. Still, it's a mitzvah to honor them and to stand up slightly for them. So where does that come from? So the Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin, where these halachos of standing up has been mentioned. So the comment said, yeah, if a person has the right to mochal on their kavod, at least a Talmud Chacham has the right to mochal on their kavod, but Nasi can't. Then the Gemara says, but we have a story about Rebbe and his child's wedding. He was going around serving drinks, so you see, he is being mochal on his kavod. They said, you're right, it's not Nasim. Nasim have the right to mochal on their kavod, just the Melech has no right to mochal on his kavod. That's what the Gemara says. But I didn't see there at first, even though it's a myth, but even if they're mochal, there's still a mitzvah to honor them. Where did it get that from? So it's in the story that appears right before that in the Gemara. Then the Gemara there has the story of one of the Amorayim that was serving drinks. Now, apparently serving drinks is considered being mochal on one's kavod. I wasn't sure why that was such a strong assumption. But apparently that was considered being mochal on their kavod. And then the Pearson didn't stand, and then the Amorim didn't stand for him. That was it. The Amorim didn't stand. One of them did, and one of them didn't. So he's got upset with the one who didn't. Why? So the one who didn't, the one who was serving drinks, was Ikbid, was Makbid on that. Not necessarily angry at him out loud, but it's like annoyed him, or at least he said, "Like I thought that guy was a Talmud Chacham. Why is he not standing for me?" Implying that the person should have stood. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to understand that as being that even if a person is mochel on their kavod, still there would be a mitzvah to do it. Meaning he was befuddled by the fact that this person wouldn't stand for him and wouldn't take that opportunity to show a little kavod, even though he was being mochel. How do we know that he was being mochel? Because he was giving out drinks. If you're giving out drinks, then you're obviously being mochel on one's kavod. Now, I was unsure. I don't understand why you can't be mochel for one thing and not for the other thing. Meaning, if you're hosting, if the Rosh Yeshiva is hosting a dinner for people, so it makes sense that he would be serving people things or be giving out certain things. It doesn't necessarily mean that he's overall be mochel on the kavod, but yet the Gemara seem to be making that assumption. Fine. So he has the right to. Now, the further question is it appropriate for one to be mochel on the kavod? So this idea shows up in this Piskei Tshuva here. Now, this Piskei Tshuva, I think we covered at an earlier point. At least this Tshuva of the Chavos Yair we came across. I'm not sure if it was a reference to this Piskei Tshuva or we saw it elsewhere. But the Piskei Tshuva here in Dalet says, "I'm berhetiv shel harav ma'arit, v'ayim b'tshuvas Chavos Yair, simen reish beis, shenishal b'talmud chacham hayudea nagin b'kama mine klizem." Right? They have a talmud chacham and knows how to play a lot of instruments. So, is it appropriate for him to play the harp? Kinur is the harp, right? So in front of the chasen and kala, O aser, livzos atzmo mifnei kavod torasa, or is it prohibited for him to be mevazen himself due to the honor of his Torah? Ve'ein yochel limchol, and therefore he can't be mochel on the bizyonos. I mean, for some reason, it's assumed that would be considered not just a lack of kavod Torah, or being mochel on one's kavod Torah, but actually a active bizayon haTorah for him to do so. Now, I would question the assumption. I'm not sure why that is true, but the Chavos Yair seems to be working with the idea that would actually be a bizayon haTorah. The chas of the lechor is that tully beplukta shvein haRambam vaHarash, and that seems like that would be tully in the machlokas between the Rambam and Rash. Gabi zokin veinu lefi chvodo ahuva bechoshen mishpat simin reish said samach gimel sef gimel. The delivery haRash sham that according to the Rush over there it says the afim rotzel hachmer einu rishai, that if he wants to be machmer he shouldn't. Who didn't katz so too. here? And then he doesn't go and shuv kasa de bezel luchliyal b'shar. Period. Okay. So what is that talking about? So in the base that appears in the Beis Yosef, not in Yerdeya where you have in the back, but in Chush and Mishpat that he was just quoting from here. So Siman Reish Samach Gimel Sif Gimel. This is talking about the area of Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda, if something is beneath the dignity of somebody to pick up, it's he's a zakin ve'ino l'fichvado, so he doesn't have to. So what about if he does? Right? Is that appropriate or is that inappropriate? So the Gemara, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Gezeila, holich b'derach hatova yashav osu l'fni mishurusad en maksus avedas b'chol makum v'afapish en l'fichvado. Person walking down the street, he sees something that was lost. Even if perhaps it is beneath his dignity for him to pick up, if he wants to go pick it up, that'd be okay. Nira Shalamad came uvda the Rebbe Yishmael. It seems that he learns it out from the story of Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi, the Yisav Esov Perak Eilu Metzius. What's going on there? The Pagabahu Gavra the Havadari Piskla the Ofe. Amar Le Dalili. Amar Kamish. That this, there was this person who was he had to pick up this bundle of something, and so he's walking around. This Rebbe Yishmael, Rebbe Yossi is walking there, and he says, "Hey, can you mind picking up for them?" So he says to him, "Well, how much is it worth to you?" Meaning, how much are these things that you want me to pick up? How much are they worth? So Amrlei palga duzuz. Oh, it's worth a half a zuz. So he says, "Okay, fine. Here's a half a zuz, and we'll let that stuff be hefker." So the guy's like, "Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, zakin ve'inu fichvado, hava lifni mishrus adin hu the oven." So what's this Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi doing? By the fact that he's giving this money over, right? The Rambam says, "Aha, he doesn't really have to help him out because he says zakin ve'inu lefichvado. It's beneath his dignity to help him out, but yet he gave him the money for it anyways, which was considered lifni mishrus adin." So that's the Rambam's perspective. It says Rabbeinu Hishmitzeh. However, this is the Beis Yosef talking. So Rabbeinu, who's the Rabbeinu of the Beis Yosef? Who would he be referring to as the Rabbeinu? Referring to the Tor. He says the Tor left it out. Why? Because the Tor rigs the system a little bit. Because they should custom Rabbeinu Asher, because he wanted to quote his father. By that there is a question on that same daf from the Sechus Bav Metzia. There is a question about if a person picks something up now, so now he's responsible to return it. So Gemara says, well, what about if it's not his coven? Well, once he picks it up, so then he should. Sorry, what if he didn't intend on doing that? So the Gemara says, well, Gemara there has a question. Can he pick it up having in mind that if it's out in the field, I'm willing to return it? But if it means I got to go schlep into the city, and that might be, and everyone's going to see me walking around with this thing, so then I'm not willing to take that upon myself. So what's the conclusion of that Gemara? So that's what we call a baidul yivshita. So the Gemara doesn't have a conclusion for that. So therefore, the Rush said that because the Gemara never answers that question about whether he has to go now all the way and return it, he says he goes l'chumra. So what's l'chumra in that case? Is it l'chumra to return it, or is l'chumra to say that, oh, it's his dignity, and therefore he can't return it? So v'yir li, kimish patra torah hazakin she'ein lo l'zalzal b'chvodo aserhu l'gabi didei, she'mezalzal b'chavara torah. So the Rush's read is, yeah, you gotta go l'chumra, and what's the chumra? The chumra is to not break, not to deny one's dignity, not go below one's dignity, and return it even though one doesn't have to. Shemazaz b'chavarat Torah, Malkum she'enu chay v'chacham shabal lasos leftim yushur zedin yosur mimamono v'yasek kamo she'asur Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi aval in lo reshus l'zal b'chvodo adkan. Now he could, suggests the Rush, he could give money. Right, so how do you explain the story of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi getting involved with this guy where it was beneath his dignity? He says, he didn't get involved. Why do you think he was paying him off? Right? He was paying him off because it was beneath his dignity to help out. So even though it's beneath one's dignity, you have the right to perhaps contribute, but still one should not go beneath one's dignity. So comes the Chavos Yair here and says, yeah, so that machlokas that appears with regards to Hashavas Aveda would be applicable here. Is it appropriate for a Talmid Chacham to go beneath the, I don't know, dignity is not the right word, but to go beneath the honor due to him in order to play at this wedding? He says, well, according to the Rambam, I would say, that's okay, you have the right to do so. And according to the Rush, you'd say, no, you don't have the right to be mochel in that way. However, then he continues on and says, Right, the chul yam shari mitzvah avir achrei shakol yodim she'in lo skar. He said, "The Rebbe Rush Sham Dafim wrote to la achmer inu reshai who adim kan v'shuv kasam." However, then he turns around and says, "Bazel chul yam shari." But here, everybody would agree that it would be okay. Why? Umitzvah avir. It would be a mitzvah. Why? Achrei shakol yodim she'in lo skar ba'malo, that he's not getting paid for it. I mean, when would it be considered a beneath his kavod if you're a member of the band that's being paid? But if you're the rabbi who then goes and plays a little bit to be the sameach hasan makala, so that would not be beneath one's dignity, and that would be okay, right? Veshehu osel l'shem. Everybody knows they're doing it l'shem shemayim. That they've rush inam rak b'davar mitzvah. And the rush was only and then he adds in this part that totally confused me, because the idea of the rush, when the rush said that one should be machmir, that's when it's a mitzvah shehu ben adam l'chaveira, right? When the Torah says in your pater l'zakim ein l'fi chvodo, and it's not his kavod. K'klasha amru kol shehi metapel ba beidah shelo v'torin hachinayim b'shel chaveira the lot tzvatza Torah rak v'after the reyach hamocha v'mirtza l'achmir nasek m'vaza torasul itapel b'mamon atzmo shein roi l'vaz. Right, and if a person is going to go beneath his dignity in order to help somebody else, really beneath his honor in order to help this other person, it's not your right to do so. But Masha'inkim mitzvah shben Yisrael l'makom, as opposed to a mitzvah shben adam l'makom. What's the example of a mitzvah shben adam l'makom? So it seems like this case of the wedding. Right? So is being mesameach a chasam kala, is that a mitzvah shben adam l'chaver, or is that a mitzvah shben adam l'makom?
Both. Yeah.
Well, you can say that about any mitzvah, right? But I would say it's a min adam mitzvah spin adam l'chaver also. I don't know what he's talking about. A kol shekei mitzvah shezman gram, and certainly this is a set time. Emu mishum bizoi kavod zikna v'torah b'chol anoi kalos ba'atma l'torah kavoa, and you're doing something for a greater good. Mitzvah Hashem af she'inu mitzvah sa'asi mamish rak milas chesed she'alfinu mevolachas bedracha v'reizim mishubach v'tavol av bracha. Right? It's a way of giving chesed, which is learned out from holacha v'racha. You're following in Hashem's ways. So wait a second. if he's qualifying this as a gemilas chasadim to play money to play an instrument for this person, so isn't that the definition of this is benal l'chavera? So I really am not understanding what he's talking about here. I would have just simply settled with the answer that playing an instrument at the wedding is A, not a lack of covenant, is not a bizayon to the Torah, and B, that whole daf in Maseches, the same idea of that a person has the right to be mochan is kavod, that halacha is, besides being found in Kedushin daf lam beis am beis, is also found in Ksuvah daf yud zayim am aleph, and that's the daf where it talks about, where the daf starts with ketzah mevarach, ketzah meraktim lifnei akala, and continues on with this list of rabbanim who did all these crazy things at weddings in order to entertain the chasan and the kala, right? So what, playing the harp would be considered a bizayon kavod while juggling and walking on one head or whatever, or carrying the chassan on the shoulder, would it be? Right? So I had a lot of trouble really understanding what Thomas Yarrow was referring to.
Dovid danced, I guess, when they were dead.
Yes.
Someplace
so,
that he danced.
Right.
So, the Aron.
Right.
Bringing the Aron in.
He was bringing the Aron in, and Dovid danced a lot, and his wife yelled at him, and Dovid said, "That's why your father is no longer king and I am." Right, because
that's a perfect
example.
Well, it's not exactly. That's clearly a benal l'makom.
No, there's nobody for sure. Yeah.
Right, but I don't know, to argue the chasam kala. That's on the benal l'makom side. I don't quite get what you're talking about. I just say that it's not a bizayon Torah. But what Pinsky Tshuva is driving at here is an important distinction. He says, while it might be true that the Talmud Chacham has the right to be mochel on his kavod, he does not seem to have a right to be mochel on. And be zayin the Torah, right? So now, where exactly do you draw that line? Is interesting. Kind of, at what point does it leave a lack of kavod and enter into the area of bizayon? So I don't have a great answer for that. The very first, also along these lines, the very first piece in the Griz al Harambam is also on this topic, where there he discusses, I didn't work through the entire thing, but he discusses the issue of what is this little kavod here that we're showing. In Sif Yudalit it said, right, mitzvah l'chavda v'lokim v'nei right, to bow a little bit, what's going on there? So he says, because kavod, a person has the right to be mochel on, but the mitzvah, I mean kavod is what they're getting. The mitzvah is what you're doing. So they might be mochel on their kavod, but you still have a mitzvah to do. You still gain from doing the mitzvah. So they're mochel on their kavod, but you're a yotze, your mitzvah, by being mechabid dem ksas. Right? You could check off the box by being mechabid dem ksas. I believe that's what he was driving at. One more thing that's talked about here in the Pesukei Teshuva on this topic, and that is that there are achronim who writes, actually the Chazon Ish, I looked up the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that Chacham shouldn't make the habit of doing this. She'in roi l'chacham limchol tamed al kvodo. He shouldn't always be mocha on his kavod. Why? Because then you're being mevatel kavodat Torah. I mean, it makes sense to train people in kavodat Torah. That's a little hard where to draw that line in the. Recently, Rabbi Przanski has been from Teaneck has been doing actually for the last years has been doing Torah personalities of the 20th century, and so he did one recently on Rav Huttner, and Rav Huttner was known for being bringing the idea of European Kavanah Torah to America, and he is very machmir on certain things, which kind of rubs people the wrong way. So one thing he was machmir on was he was known for when you left him, you would have to walk backwards. It wasn't appropriate to turn around and walk away. You'd have to walk backwards. In fact, he had a gabbai outside that if you walked out the wrong way, he would tell you go back in. I actually heard a point, and someone told me once, he didn't mention this on tape, I had heard even that he had a button on his desk that he would lock the door and wouldn't let you out until you walked out appropriately. I'm not sure, both versions might be true, but he was known for that. But people got, it was a limit of how, so the next Rosh Hashiva is Rav Shechter, so I don't think Rav Shechter is the same Akbadas that Rav Huttner did, but like the idea of, I think they didn't daven Maariv at the right, at a set time, they daven Maariv when the Rosh Hashiva comes in. Right, which could be a few minutes or could be a few minutes late. So guys get annoyed by this, right? They don't know when to go and get their stuff. I remember at my wedding, so we got married at Marina in the Prime, Marina Del Rey, and there was a maitre d', I forget what his name was. He had a big big personality. It was like the guy who, the maitre d', like the guy who ran everything. I forget his name. He lived in Muncie, and he had this big I Love Brides thing, the lapel pin that he used to wear. And when I got there, he said, oh, so who's your Masada Kedusha? I said, Rav Shechter. He said, oh, no. You could come 2 hours late. Like, no, it's Rav Shechter from YU. Oh, okay, that'll be fine. So where to draw this, the Kavanah Torah that you want to sort of impart on people versus maybe pushing it a little too much. So a person obviously has to know their congregation. The other thing that he adds here as well is that he quotes from a Radbaz. Maybe, Bob, you maybe know this, where the Rabbaz writes that it makes sense to tell Zakenim that they should be mochel on their kavod in order not to be machshel people that won't stand for them. And he quotes the Rabbaz, that the Rabbaz says, "V'kdei lahasir michshel kol zaken she'ani roa ani omer lo she'imchel akvodu liolam." That anytime I saw an elderly person, I would tell them that they should go and be machbid, that they should go and be mochel on their kavod.
When Bill Yarish turned 70, he had Rabbi Kaplan announce,
right,
that he was Michael.
And you did this as well, I recall.
I probably did.
Right. Yeah. I've been quoting Gil Yarish, quoting Rabbi Kaplan.
Yeah.
So okay, so it's a Radbaz, apparently. He used to constantly tell people.
Question, not on this, but Yud Gimel, he talks about the Abbas, and Yud Dalal, he talks about the Nasi.
Yes.
Is know if there's any difference between the two.
So Nasi is...
I know what they are.
I mean, the Nasi is... So the Nasi is being quoted from the Gemara. I mean, in the time of the Gemara, there was a Nasi.
Right, but what's the difference in the way you treat them?
Well, there's a little bit of difference. Avbeisin until he gets past you. For Amos, a Nasi until he sits down.
So if the Avbeisin sits down, you have to keep stand?
What?
Let's say the Avbeisin.
No, the Nasi. The Nasi is until he sits down.
And the Avbeisin just sits down.
The Avbeisin, if he's four, until he's 4 hours past you.
Yeah, but suppose they sit down instead of walking 4 hours past
you. No, if they sit down, they sit down. I mean, sitting down is the further one.
Further.
That's the more machmir one. So if he sits down, then he's done.
Okay.
Yeah. The Shach comment, I skipped that, was the Shach comments here that the... We don't have the mizman as that. We have such people. We have Rosh Hashiva. We have an avbeisin. Ain lam el din chacham. They really only have the din chacham. We high time alone nagu achshav lasa shura la avbeis. We don't have these special hanhagas that we have for them. Why it doesn't apply to them? It's probably just because we want to keep all of Rabbanim the same. That's what I think he says. Okay. So we skipped a little bit. So that is the Mochlan Kava thing. So I wanted to skip to Yud Ches, and then that will probably carry us for the night. So in Yud Ches, this really quoting here also a Gemara in the end of Baba Basra. Well, not toward, really the end. Towards the end of Baba Basra, Yish Nochlan, where he comments there, how you biyachat chacham shemuflat b'chachma hu bachar v'zakin shemuflat b'zikna v'hu chacham. Tas. So let's say you have who has precedence between the Chacham and the Zakin. Which of them goes first? So the Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra learns out from the idea that there were two the Bnei Slavchad are given two different orders. So it suggests that one of those orders is Lefi Zikno and the other order is Lefi Chachma. So we see that there's different orders to each. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that depending on what the activity is, you would give either one. So assuming each one is Muflug, each one is either unique in their chachma or unique in their age, which we understand to be 70. Hu chacham bi yeshiva shel din o shel Torah hocham achra chachma lahoshiv chacham b'chur b'rosh l'dav v'shite. He says, well, if it's a din Torah or something having to do with learning, so then you would have the chacham go first. Hu v'mesiba shel mishta o shel nisuin hocham achra zikna lahoshiv b'rosh. But if it's just a banquet or at a wedding, we'll get to what wedding might be soon, but it seems just simply that, oh, you know, at a wedding, so you would give the more honored spot to a zakin. If the chacham is specifically wise, or if the zakin is not, then you would follow the chacham. If one of them is muflug, the other one's not, then you would follow the muflug one. And then he concludes by saying, if either one is like unique, one's just a chacham, and the other one's older, but not 70. Right? You got do times change now? This halacha, I don't know. But anyways, you're not right. Hazakin kodem b'chol makom. So then the zakin wins the tie. Will win the tie. It sounds like even in a learning situation, if the one who is learned is not specific, is not terribly learned, so it sounds like it's going to be a tie. At least it sounds like the tie will go to the zakin. Now the Shach here quotes from the Ran. I think the Beis Yosef quotes it from the Ra'ah. But Kasev Sheish Cholkin Deheicha Dein Echa Muflag Havi Leki Ilu Travai Muflagim. Then we consider then Muflagim, and it goes back to the original Din. So that's a little bit of Machlokas which way you would go. In the Pesachim Chuvas, he seems to hold like the Shulchan Aruch over the Shach. But I did want to point that as a little bit of a different understanding of what Oshel Kol Shel Mesuin means. And it sounds like from the Shulchan. The first time I read it, I said, "Oh, like at a wedding. So who gets to sit in the more honorable spot at a wedding?" So the Zakein would win out over the Chacham. So comes the Shach, and he quotes from the Bach. The Shach in Sif Yud Gimel says, Kasav HaBach, Nira Dahai Shil Nisuin Haki Pirusho. That this idea of Nisuin, this is the Pshat, Im Achim O Achayos Yasu Lehem Nisuim, if the brothers or sisters want to do a wedding, Afal Gav Sha'amar Gadol Michaveru B'Chachma, Lo, even though one of them might be more have more learning, but would it be greater in chachma? Lo yakdimu lasos nesu'in lekatan b'shanim. Nifnei shehu gadol b'chachma, el yakdimu lasos nesu'in lekatan b'shanim. You don't get to go first in terms of the wedding if you are older in learning. Rather, the older one in age is the one who gets to get, is the one who is allowed to get married first. That is this is the makor, right? That the older child, the older one gets married first. So where do we have the makor from that otherwise?
Lavan,
right. So this halacha is brought down. That the older child should get married first. It's based on Lavan. So besides being based on Lavan, it also seems to be based on this Gemara in Yesh Nochem. Now this does make an appearance in the Tshuva Sfar. I mean, this idea that an older child should wait, the younger child should wait to get married until an older child does that have any repercussions as much as that? So Rav Moshe, the first Tshuva in Evan Ezer Chelek Beis Simon Aleph in Igros Moshe, so Rav Moshe was asked this question, right? Ba'ach tzi'irim yachul lisa isha kodem achav agadu kasha achav makbid. If the older brother is annoyed that the younger brother is getting married first, right? The older brother could be mochel, right? Well, it seems like chacham could be mochel, so certainly an older brother could be mochel. But let's say the older brother is makbid. So does he have a right to hold the younger brother back from getting married? So Rav Moshe says, "V'nei pashul fini as dais. See, the afle chatchila yachol as tzeir lisa isha afshe achva gadol lo nizdabin lo adayin isha lisena." That certainly that even the chatchila, the younger child could get married, even if the older brother is not yet married, kihu or not yet ready to marry, kihu arei mechuyav lisa isha ve'ich shan shaloi kaim chiyuvu b'shil she'achav agadol lo mekayim. He says he has a mitzvah to do. So how are we going to say, oh, you hold back on your mitzvah of pruravu and wait for your brother to could get married? And then he goes on and says, and maybe what about the shach in your day as simin reish min dal sifyin gimel lesser who tells gamor to quote that? He says in a mistake. She'shach she'abach ayrik she'ondim she'achim lasos nesuin she'kvar nishtad klushneim. That's when you have two brothers that are like already engaged, right? And now the question is, which one should get to have their wedding first? So then you would go with the older brother over the younger brother. There you'll go with the older one, even if the younger one is a bigger Talmud Chacham. That's included in this idea. But to say, if the older brother doesn't need to have a woman to get married to, even if the older one's not just older but also bigger Talmud Chacham, you don't have to wait until the older one finds a wife. Even a ish pashut shouldn't be mevatel their mitzvah for the purpose of a Talmud Chacham. So that's an interesting line there, right? Sometimes you hear that, you should allow this person to do this because for some reason. So Moshe has a line there, right? Don't be mevatel your mitzvah for a Talmud Chacham. This happened to me, I remember at 9, after 9/11, right? 9/11 happened on Tuesday, and I believe Rosh Hashanah was the following Monday night, I think. I think that's what it was. The Mishnah was the following Monday night. So I had to get back. I was in Israel. I was in Yeshiva. I was going to get back to be Chazan in my spot in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. So I had a ticket for Motzi Shabbos. There was also a Rosh Yeshiva from YU that was in Eretz Yisrael at the time for a Simcha or something and needed to get back to their shul. And their flight got canceled. Their flight was like a Wednesday or Thursday night, right after 9/11, right? So their flight got canceled. There was no flight. No one was flying right then. So I ran into this person's son-in-law. He was like, I don't know how he's going to get back, etc. I was like, I'm going back on Motzei Shabbos. I hope I'm going to make it. So he said to me, well, maybe you should give him your ticket. I'm like, well, first of all, I don't even think that's possible. Right, I'm sure this then, that was before they were mocking on these things. I don't even think that's possible. But even if it was possible, what right do I have to say, so he could get back to his shul, I'm going to let my shul suffer, right? Even though mine's a quarter of the size, all those kinds of things. Right, what right? So there you go, right? Ain lo levatel mitzvah, we shil tam chacham. One doesn't have the right to be mevatel their mitzvah for the purpose of a Talmud Chacham. He goes and quotes the Gemara, and then he concludes with one other line at the end, which is also an important yesod. He says, "Masheratza lomer." That's what you want to say. Do layish lahatzir lihimnei mishum shuboshes over hagadol. And maybe that besides this idea of kavod, you're also embarrassing the older sibling. So maybe you should hold off on getting married because you're embarrassing the older sibling. But who ke'ena halvanas panim shu iser chamor, and you know, embarrassing him is a big iser. Hine gamla inyan haboshes who rak sheba atzo mishpayish bezet. Right? It's only if he himself would be causing the embarrassment. I think that's how you read it. There's many people who get married later for many reasons. They want to learn longer, and they're not going to be able to, etc. That you can't hold a person back from doing the things that they need to do. The fact that another person is going to be embarrassed simply because they weren't as matzliach as you. Right? You could say about a lot of things. Well, maybe I shouldn't accept partner in a law firm because this other guy has been waiting longer. Hasn't made it yet. Right? So I'm just saying, right, you have to do what you need to do. You don't have to, just because your success might lead to someone else being embarrassed that they're not being as successful as you. So that's not your problem. That's their problem. Right? They should figure out a way to get over those challenges. Nor do I see anything incorrect about this, that the young woman would get married first. He's going to be zoch because he's getting married at a good young age, like the Gemara says. He doesn't need any schus to be saved from punishment. He'll be better off in the long run. He shouldn't have to hold off his wedding just because the older sibling has not yet found their match. Okay, we finished Simon Reish Mem Dalet. Reish Mem Hei is Hilchos Melamdin, the obligation of a parent teaching their children, and then the obligation of Kavod to the Rabbanim. Okay, all right, to their teachers.